Greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight right here on a Tuesday evening, very late on the eastern seaboard. But if you're down a little bit to the south, well, you know that you're listening in to us tonight just about right. And if you're out on a little further west, well, man, we're early in the evening. Pray, shall we? For all you Easterners that have set up to tune in tonight, we really appreciate you. We've got part 7 here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, of growing in grace and knowledge. Now, we've done determined that if you grow up as a calf in the stall, and then you get into the green grass of revelation and strength, that you know who your enemy is. And if you don't think you've got an enemy, you just don't know the devil. The devil is one of the slyest foxes that has ever been created. Now, if you understand why that Yahweh hated Esau, and we talked about the Edomites last night, and tonight we're going to tell you why that there is enmity against these seeds that we've talked about. We've given you the Khazars. We've given you the Ashkenazis. We've given you the Sephardic. And then we've given you the seed of Esau, and as well as the seed of Cain. So here we've got five applications of bloodline wrapped around the serpent genetics into the house of Israel. I mean, directly or indirectly. Some of it's direct, as we told you about Judah marrying a Canaanite and got the blood line through the seed of Judah and through the seed of Simeon, according to the book of Genesis, chapter 46, verse 10, and then verse 12. 10, it reveals that Simeon had a Canaanite son. Verse 12 reveals that Judah had a Canaanite son by Shua, whose name was Sheba. And these two Canaanite connections directly into the genetics of Yahweh, it's amazing. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the greatest genetic battle. You may not realize every funeral that you go to, every loved one that dies that you love, every time there's a disease, every time there's a sickness, every time there's you have to lock your door, every time that you have to take your keys out of your automobile, every time that you have to guard your children to keep them from being abducted or mistreated or sexually abused. I'm telling you, we're living in a time just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? What if Yahweh, willing, Paul writes, to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath? Now, I want to explain that to you just a minute. Marvel not if the wicked prosper. You say, well, I just don't understand it. Here, you tell me that the Edomites and the Ashkenazis and the Sephardics and the Canaanites, that, you know, that they're evil and they rule the world. If they're so evil, why is God blessing them? Right here it says it. Yah willing to demonstrate his wrath to make his power known, endureth with much long suffering. You're not the only one suffering here, ladies and gentlemen. Yahweh suffers. Yahweh is patient to receive the fruit that this tribulation, having to live in this present world under the rulership of Satan, the god of this world, who has given the kings and the queens and the mighty ones, these Edomites that are now ruling the world. I mean, just look at the Federal Reserve. You think that Yahweh created that system? Well, if you believe he did, you better think again. There was a very wise, crafty seed that done this. It's just like magic, sorcery. The Bible said we wrestle not against the flesh, but against powers and principalities. We've got enough of Yahweh's people on earth to defeat every enemy that ever walked on this earth, if we could wake up. Notice this, the vessels of wrath, willing and long-suffering, toward the vessels of wrath that are fitted. Now, fitted means that they've been to the tailor. And they're born and bred for destruction. But the Bible said, don't marvel if the wicked prosper. Their final end is destruction. That he might make known his riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. In other words, if you're willing to suffer with him here, you're going to be willing to reign with him there. If you're going to keep his commandments there, you're going to keep them here. I mean, when you get to heaven, you're going to your record's going with you. And if you've loved him here, you're going to love him there. If you've obeyed him here, you're going to obey him there. If you've labored, if you've grown in grace and knowledge, you're going to receive the power of the redemption of his glory because you're a vessel of mercy. The elected people of Jacob. These are the vessels today which are wandering around lost, blind, deaf, and the people of wrath, or the vessels of wrath, are ruling over you with rods of iron, and that was a promise of you. That if you would let these people come in, I mean, Benjamin Franklin warned you that these Edomites, I mean, they were well known, they're vagabonds. The seed of Cain is nothing but vagabonds. They don't have a certain home. They had to have one appropriated in 1948. And instead of Israel going home, it was the Ashkenazis. It was the Khazars. It was the Sephardics that went there as posing as Jews, and they're not. Ordained before and prepared unto His glory, that they are vessels of His glory and His mercy. By growing in grace and knowledge, you'll understand patience. About every Israelite I know is lacking patience. In patience, you possess your soul. Don't get too haughty and high-minded, thinking that you'd like to see this thing begin, the final last days of the wrath of destruction. I mean, you know, when they get beat on, they're going to beat on you. When they get persecuted, they're going to persecute you. And you're going to be fitted for, because the Bible says Satan is going to literally wear out the vessels of the riches of His glory. Yahweh knows who you are. But the problem is Satan knows who you are. And he's out to make war against them that love Yahweh and keep His commandments. Now, the commandment is growth and knowledge. If you're destroyed for the lack of it, you're saved because you've got some. And to be saved, you've got to know who your enemy is. If you run around here and say, oh, now we've just been reading out of Romans 9, 10 through 14, and verses 21, 23, when Rebekah has also conceived by one, well, she had two seeds, even by our father Isaac, that was a righteous seed of Jacob. For the children, not being yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of Yahweh, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. As it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Now, I don't know where you have pinched yourself lately, but have you had anybody serving you? And give and letting you mint money and put it out and get instant wealth in return? I don't think so. You see, this is the long suffering period, but this is a prophetic utterance of the overall situation that Paul's mentioning here in the ninth chapter of the book of Acts. For it says, listen to this, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Well, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Yah? Yah forbid. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump? Listen to that. To make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? I mean, Esau was made for final destruction, according to the Bible. And all of the seed of Cain is made for destruction. The Ashkenazis are made for destruction. The Sephardic are made for destruction. And the true house of Judah, Yahuta, scattered throughout the land, lost, blind, wretched, under the yoke of Esau. Did you know that there was a covenant and promise made by Isaac? Our own father blessed this rascal, Esau. Yahweh hated him. But here's old blind, dumb. I mean, some of the prophets of Yahweh are blind and dumb. They're letting their heart rule their head. I've been a victim of that all my life. I don't know why. When the blushing house of Israel, they've got a conscience. And seems like they lean to their carnal mind rather than going with the spiritual mind. Sarah. Plus, God, women are more apt to tell you what the truth is than men. unless they got some backbone. We know that Sarah came out of the tent. She said, cast that bondwoman out of here. She will not inherit with my son. Well, who was her son? Isaac. But Abraham had other sons, and old Sarah had a few concubine sons. But they didn't inherit with Isaac because he is Yahweh's progeny, who was covenanted. And yet, when he got down to his last blessing, he was going to lay it on old Esau. Had not the wisdom of the woman and the prophetic covenant of Yahweh, which instructed her that there were two different nations in her womb that had enmity against each other, would fight against each other, and would war against each other, but came out of the same womb of the woman. And so this close proximity of the relationship of flesh coming from Rebecca. Here we've got two seeds, one good and one bad, one loved and one hated. One, before they'd ever done any good and evil, Yahweh hated these two different people and two different intents. One elected to grace while the other is elected to wrath and destruction. You say, well, no, God loves everybody. He could have forgiven what we saw if he'd have repented. Esau repented. What are you talking about? I mean, he came up there and wept. Well, that's more than a few of these people go to the altar do. They just go down there and get, they don't have to weep. They don't even have to repent. They just go down to the altar and a preacher will save them. I mean, it's very simple. Esau wept bitter tears. Oh, my father. Isaac. Haven't you reserved one blessing for me? Well, finally, Isaac gave in to the old flesh man and said, well, I tell you what, Esau Edom, if you will take this to heart and believe it, there'll be a day when you will break the yoke of Jacob off your neck. Yahweh just got through in the 9th chapter of Romans through Paul quoting the scripture of the prophetic prophecy that the younger would be the blessed and the older would be the servant. And yet, Isaac stepped in there as a prophet and said, well, there'll be a time in the future you're going to break his yoke off your neck and then you'll rule over him. I mean, Isaac, he was a little bit miffed at being deceived and tricked by his wife and his other son, Jacob. And so then that began the battle of animosity, enmity against, as it's recorded in Genesis 3, 14 and 15, through the warring of the seeds. Yahweh knew that Esau would do just exactly like he did. That he was evil. He was actually, the Bible said he was red and hairy. And I've got some other characteristics that I add on to that, but we won't get personal here. But, he wasn't fitted for blessings. He was fitted for destruction. And yet, he was given a covenant promise by a prophet. The same one that laid his hands upon Jacob to have an eternal blessing, laid his hand on old Esau and give him a ruling blessing in the flesh. And said, well, don't worry now. You're going to break his yoke. Well, I don't know whether you know it or not, but we're under the yoke of oppression. We're under the yoke of dictation. They rule in our high places. Esau, Edom, has taken over the world. You say, well, I just don't see it, Pastor Betty. We elect our senators and congress. We got a democracy. that's one of the... it's actually one of the worst words in our language. Democracy? We're to have a theocracy. We're to serve Yahweh. We're to give allegiance to Him. We're to be the head. But see, when we was fooled by those who set up democracies and socialism, having all things in common, and communism, which all that we've got here today, we are now moving toward a socialist communist state, and that's Esau Edom. That's their platform. That's how they rule. That's how they kill. That's how they steal. And that's how they destroy. Two different types. One, a vessel of honor. And it was ordained before he was ever born. That it was genetic righteousness. The blood of Isaac was literally the blood of Yahweh. The blood of Esau was literally the blood of the devil. And before they'd done any good or evil, Yahweh loved Jacob and hated. Now, how'd you like to be hated of Yahweh? You say, I just believe that God loves everybody, honey. Glory to God. And you know, everybody's got a fighting chance here. If you just get up there and repent. Well, like I said, Esau repented. And he could find no repentance because God, Yahweh, in a flesh body, he hated him. You say, oh, you just make it so, you make God sound so bad, and you know he loves everybody. I wish we could get over it. I wish you Israelites could wake up. I wish that you could comprehend the royal battle we got going on here under your stupid nose. When you go out here to these bell boxes and sit there, listen to these jake-legged preachers of Satan, the ministers that have changed themselves from wickedness, inwardly they're raving wolves, but outwardly they got on a three-piece suit, they've been to the theology training, they know how to speak. God loves everybody, honey. God so loved, that's a favorite verse in the Bible, and you know it's not true. God did not love Esau. And so don't tell me that God loves everybody. And I can give you example after example. Yahweh, like I said last night, he's a man or a god of war. And he told his children what to do, and yet his children wanted to be like the enemy. And so Yahweh just let the enemy take over and rule over him. We just handed all of our birthright authority. And by the cunning craftiness and the deception, not right now, we don't even know who's got it and where it's at. Isaac entreated his wife. Because she was barren. And Yahweh was entreated of him. Now, what did he entreat him for? Could you let my wife get pregnant, Yahweh? I'd like to have a boy. I'd like to have somebody to leave this my heritage to. I'd like to have a name in the earth that I could call myself by your name, Isaac, the sons of laughter. Well, now their laughter is turned into sorrow. They laughed as long as Deuteronomy 28 was in effect. The day that you serve me and you honor me and you love me and you keep my commandments, I'll give you a blessing. The day that you turn your back on me and join your enemy, Esau, Edom, and let them rule over you, I'll curse you. Twins. Born and they are still at war. But you just don't know about it. There is a diabolical plan to destroy you, Jacob Israel. Your enemy is Esau, Edom. Your enemy is the Khazars posing as Jews, and they are not. And yet you give them the distinction and support. You back them up to the hilt, and in doing so, they are so greedy, they're so evil, their purpose. Let me give you the purpose again. Satan's children, you say, I didn't know he had any. Glory to God. God made everybody. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. And Satan got him a seed in Genesis 3:15, and Yahweh throwed a curse on it. He didn't love that seed that come out of the garden, named Cain.
You say, well, he gave him a chance.
What kind of chance did he get? Same one you're getting. You know a tree by its fruit. You think that Cain was a good seed that come out of the garden? Can you really believe that? Can you tell me that you believe that Cain could get salvation? Do you believe that Cain could get saved? He couldn't have Baptist church. He couldn't have Methodist church. He couldn't have Catholic church, because they'll take anything you can drag, chase, or pull. They don't look at the genetics. You say, well, it's not a genetic thing, Pastor Buddy. God loves all the races of the world. There is a race in the world that Yahweh does not love. It's called Esau, Edom. And those who have lied, that say they're Jews, no liar is going to have any part of eternal life. So you can mark them off. And that'd be the Khazars. They're not going to go. They're Mongols. They're Mongolian. Mongrels. The Eastern Jews who were in the East, the Ashkenazis, and the Sephardim. I'm gonna give you something. I probably can't give it to you tonight, but I'm going to review a book, hopefully, maybe tomorrow night, of an Ashkenazi Jew that's going to tell you the truth, but you ain't going to believe it. He's going to lay it right out for you, just exactly what their plan is, how they're destroying America, how they destroyed Europe, and how that these parasites have been, they have destroyed. And what, again, is the mission of the devil? To kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's his, and his children are here upon the earth. And you church-going people have let these lying preachers in the pulpit tell you that God saves anything that will come and repent. Well, he didn't save Esau, and he came and repented and wept with bitter tears. 99% of the churches today would save Esau and go against the wishes of somebody that sits in the heavens who literally hated him. Esau is the mark of the beast. Esau is red. That's his favorite color. You know what the favorite color of communism is? And you know who invented communism? Esau. You know why? They are the ones that get in the governments, set them up in a communist style, and get in the government and let you support them, and they feast as parasites off of your land, charging you taxes, tax you plumb to the grave, and then tax your grave. That's Esau. Crafty. Skilled. A deceiver. A killer. A stealer. And a destroyer. And let me give you another one. He's a fornicator. Naturally, he is a fornicator. He had fornication on his mind. You know what a fornicator is? It ain't good. You know what's coming out of Hollywood through the Esau Edomites? Fornication? Adultery? The beauty. See, they take beautiful people. They don't care who you are and what color you are or where you come from. They take that and they use it for an advantage, because they know that you, the dumb Israelites, sit there on the couch with a bag of potato chips and a cold one in your hand, crunching and watching the Oscars, and they've got you. And you'll spend billions to trillions of dollars going to the stupid movies that they produce, where they tell you exactly what they're doing to you that sit there and pay for the movies, pay your taxes, support them in the top of the pyramid, and communism is nothing but code red. So, how did Esau commit fornication? By marrying those not of his seed line. Who were descendants of Heth, and Heth was one of the sons of Canaan, a cursed seed. He did not just adulterate his seed line by marrying out of the race, but with marrying into the seed of the serpent, which is the Cain seed. This cursed his descendants with destruction, and it broke the heart of Rebekah and Isaac. Who was Canaan? He was the son of Ham, the father of the Canaanites, including the Hittites. These peoples were a cursed seed in the earth. And how did they become cursed? All you got to do is turn to Genesis 9:22 and read it. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Noah woke from his wine and knew that his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan. Now, wait a minute here. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the wickedness of his father. Now, what did he do? Was his father naked? You know, if you go to the 18th chapter of Leviticus, you're going to find out exactly what nakedness, discovering the nakedness of his father, really meant. He just didn't walk up there and see him laying naked in a tent, drunk and passed out, which he was. He saw his mother's nakedness, and he desired to lay with her. And he laid with Noah's wife. He uncovered Noah's nakedness, which was revealing or having intercourse with Noah's wife. And that, ladies and gentlemen, made him a fornicator. And the influence was placed over on the race of Ham and the race of Esau, Edom, and that's what they do today. They're good at it. And they'll glorify it and justify it in defiance of the Scriptures. They don't love the Scripture. They love the Talmud. Cursed Canaan, the son of Ham. Now we've got incest all the way up into the house of Noah, all the way up into the house of Abraham, all the way up into the house of Jacob. Incest is the fornicating of going off and marrying out of your bloodline, ladies and gentlemen, whether you believe it or not, whether your preachers ain't going to tell you that. And now we've got what we call the war of the two seeds, or the enmity that is placed. Cain, who slew Abel, was the original seed of the serpent, being a product of Eve's subduction, beguiling by the serpent. She was pregnant with the seed of Cain from Satan. The original Canaan, who inspired, who tempted all of these offspring to do things that displeased Yahweh, and so the war was on. And whether you believe it or not, tonight the war is critical. We are in the 12th hour. We're in the closing chapter. We're at a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. Your enemy knows who they are. You just don't know who the enemy is. And the predicament that we got in, the way out is to return to Yahweh with the whole heart and keep yourself unspotted from the world. And do not condone. Now you say, well, I don't do such things like that. But if you condone it and go to a church that promotes it, you are a hypocrite. And you know what one of the seven things that Yahweh despises? Is a hypocrite. And when Esau heard the words of his father in Genesis 27, verse 34, he heard the words of his father. He cried with a great and exceedingly bitter cry. and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. Now, here he's throwing a fit and gushing great tears. And Hebrews 12:17 says, Esau sought repentance with tears, but Yahweh would not give it to him. Now, wait a minute here. Preachers will give it to him. Your church will give it to him wherever you go. If you listen to me tonight and you go to a bell box church, your church would give it to him. And you know it. Esau continues to beg for a blessing, and Isaac consents to bless him with another blessing and a prophecy in 27:40. And by the sword, listen to this now, and by the sword, that's killing, you shall live and shall serve your brother or be under his authority. And it shall come to pass that when you shall have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off your neck. And Esau hated Jacob, enmity, because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay Jacob. You think that that seed, genetically, in the hatred and desire of Esau and his offspring has ceased?
Well, yeah. Because, see, under the New Testament plan, Pastor Buddy, we don't kill one another no more.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a war right now. Your sons are on foreign battlefields because of the influence of Esau Edom. Wake up! And they're planning another very third world destruction to bring in, just exactly like Brother Ben brought us in and warned you that there's a new world order at hand to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Esau and Jacob having this hostility between them, Jacob feared him. None of that hostility was shown over the birthright. But now Esau had been hit where it hurt, right in the old pocketbook, and he don't like that. His hostility toward Jacob is now in full bloom. He has become determined to kill the seed of Jacob and his offspring, and they would have the birthright blessing. Come, let us kill him, that we would have his possession. That was Jacob Israel, your Messiah representing Jacob Israel. Do you think that he would save everything around the torture stake that was pinning him up there and glad to see him die? They hated him. But you believe that he would save them.
Well, it says there, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Well, if you go to Luke 23, verse 34, you might, in a Greek concordance or a Greek text, you might get a little surprise. Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do. You don't think these people know what they were doing? You're dumb, like a slop bucket. But if you will acknowledge that they knew what they were doing, when they said, let his blood, his, Jacob's blood, they killed Jacob's son. The Messiah was Jacob's offspring. They killed him. They avenged Esau, their father. The hatred, the animosity, the enmity was still inbred in their genes. They were children of the devil, John 8:44. Red. His name was changed to Edom, which means red. And they have become known as reds. And communism is red. and it's taken over America, whether you like it. It's happening right now under your nose. And you're caught up in what Miss Obama wears and how good she looks. And she's the first black African-American president's wife. Mr. Obama is the first black African president. And we are in change, and we are a nation in flux. We're a nation in trouble right now, ladies and gentlemen, whether you realize it or not. And that trouble is going to be sudden destruction. Because Esau has got a plan for you. Everything that's being done is diabolical to plot your demise, to rid the earth of Jacob. Two types of people, two superpowers, one ruling by proxy. They get other people to stand up and say the things they want while they stay in the background, because they are very distinctively noticeable when they do come out in public, and they're getting brazen now. I mean, if you look at the Bush administration and some of the people that I could name that paraded themselves out as God's people, they even had citizenship papers of another country. That's how bold and brash they are. The international bankers, 90% of these ruling elite families are Edomites. And you think we ain't got trouble? Have you checked your banking account lately? Oh, yeah. They make hard times, and you'll bow. The harder the times, the stronger or the quicker that you will bow and lick their boots for a piece of bread. The Bible says a man will sell his soul for a piece of bread. In Romans 9, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau I have hated. And Malachi 1:1, listen to this. The burden of the word of Yah to Israel by Malachi, I have loved you, saith Yah. Yet you say, wherein have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith Yah? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. And I'll lay his mountains and his authority of being the firstborn, and his heritage, his birthright, I'll lay it waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Remember, he's a vessel fitted for destruction. And so is his offspring. They're right here among you, and you don't even notice it. Well, you do notice it because you call them God's chosen people. And you don't even know who you are. See, that's why I'm preaching this series tonight. Grow in grace and knowledge. Heaven help you. I pray for you. Yahweh, open the eyes of blind Jacob, sleeping Jacob. He's under a spell. Was not Esau Jacob's brother? And yet I hated him. I hated him. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished. But we shall return, we shall rise again in defiance of Yah, and we build the desolate places. For thus saith Yahweh of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw it down. They shall call them the border of wickedness. The people against whom Yah had indignation forever. Oh, but they come to our church and we'll save them. Pastor Buddy, we like numbers in our church. And boy, they got some money too. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the love of money has ruined this nation. Greed. Wealth. Let the rich be rich and live at the top of the pyramid. Let the workers, the white Aryan nation that we built, the most powerful, elite, blessed nation, and we let a bunch of servants, serpents, move in and make us servants to the serpents. We're server,
We're servants to the serpents.
And that's bad. That's real bad. Now, the book of Obadiah, I haven't been in it much, but if you'll read one chapter, has 21 verses, but these verses are devoted entirely to the vision of Obadiah concerning Edom. Have you ever read the book of Obadiah? You might ought to. Have you ever wondered why an entire book of the Bible is written strictly about Esau? Let me quote you some of the verses here. The pride of your heart hath deceived you, Esau. And so it was with Satan, their father, whom they are exactly alike, for they will do the works of their father, just like Cain would do the works of his father. And Cain, the Bible says, was of that wicked one. Oh, he was just wicked in the carnal, Pastor Betty. But, you know, if he'd come to God, God would have saved him. But, you know, he went out there and he did these terrible things, you know. But God still loves him. And God would take him back in a heartbeat. I hate him forever. There is no repentance of this Esau, Edom seed. Thou that dwellest in the cliffs of the rock. Oh, they're in the high places, the top of the pyramid, like I've been talking about. Hiding themselves right out in the open. Whose habitation is high? That's the chief seats. World authority, the new world order. Who shall bring me down to the ground? Same defiant attitude of Satan as was displayed in Goliath, who thought he was big enough to take on little David. Though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou hast set thy nest among the stars, hence will I bring thee down, saith Yahweh. Now, why would Yahweh bring down Esau, Edom? Why would he be so quick to use Obadiah to prophesy against Esau? The whole chapter. The whole book. The pride of your heart has deceived you. What, isn't that the characteristic of Satan? Pride. I will exalt my seed above your seed, Yahweh. My seed's going to whoop you. My seed's going to be tougher. My seed's going to be carnal-minded. My seed is going to kill. My seed is going to destroy. And my seed is going to steal your sheep. And we're going to feast on them and their riches and their prosperity. We will suck as parasites the living blood right out of the body of Jacob. And was demonstrated when the Messiah came, who revealed who they were. And he said, let his blood be on us. We're going to kill that rascal. Away with such a demonic demon. Call him Beelzebub. If you ever read the Talmud, you know what they think about him. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. And there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph, oh my, a flame, and the house of Esau will be stubble. Oh, praise Yahweh for Obadiah. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and they shall not be any more remaining of the house of Esau, for Yahweh spoke it. Now the house is the progeny or the genetic offspring. Can you ever believe it? Oh, happy day when Yahweh comes on that great day. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and they shall not be any more remaining of the house of Esau, for Yahweh has spoken it, and saviors, which are the judges, shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and then the kingdom shall be Yah's, And there will not be a Canaanite left in the land. The last chapter of the book of Zechariah 14. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. My time is coming gone. I got to get off here. I love you tonight. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't preach the truth to you. But I know that I've made some of you church-going people mad because you're going to be heady and high-minded. You're going to be just like the Esau Edomites. You're gonna get mad and you're gonna kill and you're gonna steal and you're gonna destroy, and you are going to be just like the seed of Esau Edom. Pride's gonna lift you up, and you're gonna fall. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark, down in the great state of Mississippi. Praise Yahweh for Brother Mark. We love you, Mark. You and Miss Audrey down there, wonderful people. Love your son. Down there in the great state of Mississippi and all of your family, we send you racial covenant greetings in the great name of the King on behalf of our message tonight. We're going to tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that Yahweh indeed is a strong tower. And the Bible said the righteous run into it, and they are safe. I got to get out of here because my time is just about coming home. Got 4 or 5 minutes to tell you about how you can get in touch and receive this series. This is part 7 of Growing in Grace and Knowledge. I feel like it's very important that you know your enemy. That's part of your growth. That's part of your spiritual development. That's part of being David. Dash their heads against the stone of the cobble streets. Ladies and gentlemen, David didn't have any sympathy for the enemy. He killed everything it breathed. Old Saul, which is a distinctive difference between the carnal and the spiritual, he couldn't do that. Yahweh removed him as king. You don't want to be removed from the bouquet. If you want to stay in there, you better measure up. You better count the cost and consider it that I hate ever false way. You need to do that too. Write me tonight. That's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. We'll be back with you tomorrow night around the radio network on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel. We're also being transmitted tonight, simulcasted, on worldwide internet. If you'd like to go to our website tonight, Brother Bob would welcome you to come. That will be www.oneyahweh.com. That's oneyahweh.com. Now, if you'd like to comment tonight, I'm live here on WWRB 3.185. And that would be area code 423-626-2172. Now, like I say again, tomorrow night I'll be joining you live on a Wednesday, Yahweh willing, at 10 o'clock. With part 8, as we continue the growth process of the knowledge and the learning, and you must be a skilled technician, and you must know how to put your armor on. We're in a war. I don't know whether you know it or not, but this is a spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers. Esau Edom is a power. He's broken the yoke of Jacob, Israel. And he's come in, and he's set in the high places. I could give you some names of those that are sitting in the high places of this country, and you'd understand what I'm talking about. You people that know the truth, you know what Pastor Buddy's talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the greatest genetic warfare. They're trying to literally destroy the seed of Jacob from off the planet, and Jacob is playing the game, compromising, giving in, giving up, sharing, running to excess of writing, and genetic suicide. Yahweh bless you is my prayer. I'll see you tomorrow night. Tune in. Don't miss it. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh bless you. And I'll see you on down the road. Praise Yahweh. And I love you.